We build this series that we're starting today as a series on defining the relationship. Now, maybe you remember having this conversation. Maybe some of you younger folks have had it recently. But this is such a common experience that it has been given its own name in pop culture. It's the DTR, the defining the relationship talk. And the idea is that every relationship, as it grows and begins to develop, it reaches the point where you've got to define it. And usually one person says to the other, "What are we doing? What are we? How do you really feel about me? Let's define the relationship." Now, for us, we're going to use that metaphor, this defining the relationship metaphor, as a launching point for asking that question about our relationship together as a community of worship, as a congregation of worship, as First Church Champaign. What are we? What are we doing here? What is this about? We're defining the relationship. Excuse me, my wire is getting trapped in my collar. Now, Jesus spends a lot of time talking about this idea, and there's so many ways that we could get at this. Today, I want to use this story about this bent and broken woman as a way of getting at what's the heart of why we're here. What is the heart of this relationship that we're a part of? And so this is about the kingdom of God. Now, that's a big, expansive concept, and there are so many books written about it. Today, and as we go through these next 3 weeks of defining the relationship, we're going to use that idea of the kingdom of God really in a fairly specific way to talk about our community of worship, our church family. Now, it's important to know that the kingdom of God, in Jesus' eyes, starts in tiny little steps, small starts, seemingly inconsequential beginnings. Have you ever noticed that Jesus never really tackles head-on the major issues of his day? That's one way you could build a kingdom. You could address things like slavery or economic reform or all these things. Jesus didn't do that. Instead, Jesus chooses to grow the kingdom of God one small heart at a time, one soul at a time. So these parables that we're looking at and this story about this bent and broken woman, it's about Jesus growing the kingdom of God in the Jesus way, not with this massive plan and program and strategy, but one heart at a time. And the kingdom of God starts with that tiniest step towards Jesus. Notice what Jesus is doing at the beginning of this story. I love this. He's teaching. He's in the middle of his sermon when he notices this woman. And he stops. I can imagine somebody interrupting me mid-sermon and just what would happen if that person were sitting in the back row back there by John? Would I have the guts to stop my plan to focus on the person? But Jesus does. He puts everything on pause for the thing that matters most in that moment. And the thing that matters most is not the sermon. Ever. That's hard for a preacher to admit, but I know it's true. The thing that matters most at any given moment is the person. It's the soul. The thing that matters most in this setting is in the very back of the room, relegated to irrelevance, somebody that just doesn't really matter because of a physical deformity in this case. Picture this woman's life, if you will. For 18 years, her back has been bent into this rigid angle, muscles knotted with the weight of holding up her torso and curved vertebrae pinching her spine. I read these stories in the gospel, and I find my imagination wandering towards the untold story, the back story. And when I read this passage this week, the first thing I thought about is my great aunt Alice. And I don't really know why she was like this, but my aunt Alice was hunchback. I mean, she was about 3.5 feet tall because her torso curved over and she was a short little lady. And I got to know my great aunt Alice every year at the Harmony Church Community Barbecue. This was basically a family reunion for my family because everybody that went to that church was related to us. But this barbecue was a huge deal. It was their big fundraiser slash outreach event. And they would barbecue about 40 hogs. And so my Aunt Alice was kind of the recipe master. They weren't written down anywhere. She just knew. She knew how it was supposed to taste. And so we made barbecue sauce and Brunswick stew, if you know what that is, in these giant kettles. And you know, we just kept fire. We just kept shoveling hot coals under these kettles. And the smoke and the is rising up. And so as a 6-8-year-old kid, my most vivid memory of this event is looking through the smoke and seeing this hunchbacked old lady dipping a spoon in there and then stirring the cauldron with a paddle from a boat. I thought, my aunt's a witch. What was interesting, though, was the few times when I would take a friend to the barbecue, or actually, my wife has been to that barbecue. I don't think you got to meet Great Aunt Alice, but and they would see Great Aunt Alice, and they would be scared. And that makes me think about this woman's life in this story, the untold story. I can imagine the children in her community who teased her or ran away when they saw her coming. I can imagine adults trying to avoid her because it was a little awkward. She couldn't look at you. Her face was bent towards the ground. I imagine this woman living on the sidelines, living in the back row, nobody ever taking the time to get to know her, nobody caring for her, not really connected to anybody. So given all that, what happens next is amazing. Jesus stops his sermon and looks at her and says, "Come here." Where's Jesus standing as the teacher? He's standing in the middle in front of everybody. Is there any place that woman would less like to be at that moment than right there in front of everyone? So with her back bent double, she awkwardly shuffles through the crowd, knowing that every eye is staring at her. And she makes her way to Jesus. Why would Jesus ask her to do that? I think the reason is because Jesus is all about community. He's all about connectedness. Jesus could have healed her privately. He could have pointed at her in the back row. He could have done it from a distance. He did that on occasion. But Jesus knows that her deepest wounds may not be the wounds in her back. Jesus calls her forward to say to her and to the crowd that her need and every one of their needs and every one of our need, our greatest need, is our need for genuine connectedness in community. So as she responds to Jesus calling her to come forward, Jesus' subtle message to the congregation is their need for healing too. Their need for healing from the ways that they have turned inward and focused on themselves. Their need for healing for the way that they have relegated this woman and who knows how many others to the sidelines. Their individualism, their selfishness, their disconnectedness. Jesus calls her forward to reconnect her with this group of believers by bringing her in front of the crowd to take care of her problem. What he does is he says, "This woman who you have ignored, she's one of you. She's a part of you." And he says, "I'm going to heal her right here so you know she is whole and you know that she matters. And it's your turn next. You need healing too. You need connecting too." So the woman finds herself, through the action of Jesus, through being called forward, she finds herself connected into the relationships that matter most. Now here's the thing, that process of connecting, it begins with her face-to-face, coming from the back row to the center, her face-to-face connection with Jesus. Here's how author Ken Geyer describes the scene. Jesus lays his hand on her hunched over shoulders, and immediately the fisted muscles release their grip. The vertebrae fall into place, the captive nerves are set free. Like a cat arising from too long of a nap, she stretches herself upright. And as she does, 18 years of misery tumble from her back at the Savior's feet. And she begins to praise. I wonder what that looked like. I wonder what her praise looked like. Did she realize in that moment that she was standing before the living God, God in the flesh? The Gospels are full of stories of people who make eye contact with Jesus, people who come close enough to be touched by Jesus, people who suddenly realize that this man is not just a man, this is the living God. So the woman begins to praise. Our connections with one another, our connection into community, our unity, it is only possible in and through that connection with Jesus Christ. Have you come close to Jesus like that? I was at the Judah graduation ceremony yesterday, and one of the graduates said that their favorite scripture verse is, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." And in explaining why it was their favorite, this person said, "Really, it reminds me that being close to God's pretty simple. I've just got to draw near, and he's there waiting. It's not that hard. He's not hiding. He's sitting and waiting." So that worship service 2,000 years ago in a synagogue in Israel, it became a place where a bent and broken woman connects into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the living God. Now, interestingly, this miracle of connectedness, it irritates the person who ought to most be celebrating and most be grateful. The synagogue ruler, the priest, the pastor. We always come out bad in the gospel. He says, "We don't do that here, and we certainly don't do that on a Sunday. You can come back Monday through Saturday for that kind of stuff." There's a pretty simple point here. It's possible, and maybe even likely, that all of our traditions and our programs and our structure and our strategy, our good and decent order, keeps us, distracts us from seeing the things that matter most. Not saying those things are bad in and of themselves, but it's possible to put our eyes on the wrong thing. The thing that matters most is people connected into the relationships that matter most. Now, to flesh this out a little bit, Jesus tells these two parables. The parable of the mustard seed. I think Jesus is saying, a little bit earlier, Jesus says, the kingdom of God, this big expansive thing, the kingdom of God is in you. It is in you. So when Jesus tells his parable about the mustard seed, I think he is saying that the kingdom of God starts and grows and expands when the seed of grace is planted in your soul and watered and nourished through your connection with Jesus Christ. As it grows and expands and goes beyond you into this community of people who have this mustard seed of grace planted in their soul, we together become this tree that provides shelter and safety for those around us. In the parable of the yeast and the dough, The grace of Jesus is the yeast sprinkled on our souls. Grace sprinkled in our hearts. And slowly kneaded and worked throughout. Now, kneading dough, I don't know if you've ever done that. It's not easy. You've got to really push on that stuff, especially if the firmer it gets. It's not all that easy to do by hand. Sometimes, I don't even remember what we were making, but I got to punch the dough once. The recipe told me to. It was really kind of fun. It's not all that easy for yeast to work its way through the dough. The idea is simply growth. The idea is that our connection with Jesus is an ongoing connectedness. Our connectedness to one another is an ongoing, ever-developing, ever-deepening connectedness. The kingdom of God never finishes growing, never finishes accomplishing its tasks. These parables call us to seek reconnection with Jesus, reconnection with one another, ongoing, forever. So back to the bent woman. She connects with Jesus, and her back is healed. She stands in front of the congregation, and her connectedness in relationship, her community, is healed. And Jesus gives her these parables of continued connection. Jesus reconnects her into the relationships that matter. So, what are we? Who are we? What are we doing here? What is this relationship? In two words, this relationship is connecting and sending. We exist to connect people into the relationships that matter and to send them out to meet real needs. That's our mission, connecting and sending. In fact, that's our new mission statement as a church. Our mission is to connect people into the relationships that matter and to send them out to meet real needs. You're going to be hearing more about this the next 2 weeks and in the months to come. Our session is still wrestling with strategic plans to figure out how to achieve this mission, how to accomplish this mission. But we are in one mind and with one voice saying, we exist to connect people into the relationships that matter and to send them out to meet real needs. Now, you're going to hear more about sending in particular next week. Jaron is going to be preaching, and he's going to be bringing the good news about our identity as the sent ones of Christ. Today, we are the connected ones of Christ. And it starts with this fact. Our highest value, our most sacred calling, is to connect people with Jesus Christ. That is the relationship that matters most. We want to see the seed of grace planted in people's hearts. We want to see the yeast, which is God's grace, sprinkled in people's souls. We want to connect people with Jesus. We also want to connect people in genuine, authentic community. That's the bent woman, the reason she stood in front of everyone, to reconnect her into genuine, authentic community. Lastly, we want to connect people into the mission of God. We want to connect people with a passion for going and being the mustard tree, which shelters the broken and provides safety for the bent, and that connects the disconnected. The scriptures say this a lot of ways, but in one place it says that God has entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation. That's all about connections. So, what are we? What is this relationship? What are we doing here? How do we define it? We connect and send. Let's pray.